Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Happy Halloween. Coming up on today's show, we will recap week 8 around the NFL and let you know how we did. Plus, we'll preview Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Browns, the Battle of Ohio. We'll give you our picks for that. And you know what? You've got some spooky Mox Locks coming your way. But first, we'll welcome in Mr. Monday, looking like The Rock, a gangster, a pimp. Who are we, Danny Brasco? What's going on?
I was going for Joe Cool, Danny Cool over here. You know, I'm doing my best. Like, I got
Danny
what I got.
Cool.
You know what I'm saying?
For Monday Night Football.
That's what we're going for. We got Katie Cat and Danny Cool. So let's get it, Katie.
Let's get it. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of a spooky Mox thought. The scariest bet you have ever made. Now, we all know that I am Katie Betts responsibly, and I don't really bet any scary bets. I am very responsible with my bankroll management, and I don't bet anything that I don't really believe in, / not a lot of money. But Danny, I feel like you've got a little more of a degenerate side than I do. So tell me about the scariest bet you've ever made.
That's a fact for sure. And the scariest one I ever made is the largest bet I've ever made, actually, which was last year's Super Bowl, Rams-Bengals. And man, I laid the lumber on it. I decided to go -2.5 instead of -3.5.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, that was smart.
I was sweating through my shirt watching that game. Yeah. It came down to the wire. And of course, the field goal is the difference. I win by the hook instead of lose by the hook. And whoever's apartment I was watching that in, I needed to mop their floor after because I was pouring sweat. But it cashed. Thank goodness.
Oh my God, that's a good one. Yeah, I was on the regular spread and it didn't end up cashing for me. But again, bet responsibly, so wasn't that spooky. Now let's talk about the NFL and who some of the scariest teams are to face off against. Let's start with the offense. Who do you think is the scariest offense right now in the NFL?
I think the Bills have to be up there for the scariest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? No one's going to really argue with that take. What's scary to me about them is that they can do it without a significant run game. You take a look at their running numbers, like, yeah, they don't even need that aspect of the offense so much. It's there with Singletary here and there. You know, they use him as a pass catching back too, but they're kind of middle to bottom half of the pack in most running categories. Their pass attack is too lethal. And if Josh Allen wants to take off or even truck you a little bit, he can do that. So there's really nowhere to beat them or stop them offensively. As they say, you can't stop them. You can only hope to contain them.
I agree with you. The Bills are the scariest offense, and this all boils down to Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I think, is the scariest quarterback of all the quarterbacks right now in the NFL. He's absolutely incredible. He does it all on any given play. Allen is capable of just blowing any game wide open, and he's got the weapons. He's got Diggs. He's got Singletary. He did throw two picks last night, but no one is perfect all the time. The one quarterback that I would not want to go up against has to be Josh Allen, just because he could beat you any which way. He's got a rocket for an arm. He's a big body. He can run. I mean, him on the goal line is just, it's scary. It's scary. And I wouldn't want to go up against the Bills, but I'm hoping to for the Super Bowl this year and my Niners. All right, let's get into the scariest defense to face. I'll start this off. I think it's the Bills. The Bills, of course, have the number one defense for a reason. However, I think it might be worth talking about the 49ers here. They did slip. They started out really strong. They did slip due to a couple of back-to-back poor performances. That all has to do with injuries. When this line is healthy, no one wants to go up against the 49ers. We saw it in the second half of the game yesterday. We will get into that a little bit later. But I think it's the Bills and the Niners are the scariest defenses. What do you think?
They're definitely both up there. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see either of them. I like the Eagles as the scariest defense in the league. And maybe they're a little bit more understated perhaps, but I mean, you look at their stat categories, their rankings and advanced metrics, they're top 10 in everything, Katie, like absolutely everything. The secondary has been nasty. I mean, they have so many interceptions this year from Bradbury.
Oh, the takeaways are crazy. Yeah.
Slay. I mean, where are you going to attack them over the top? Their safeties are good. They got Gardner Johnson. And then on the line, how are you going to run through the middle of Jordan Davis and Fletcher Cox on the edges with Sweat and Graham? They're getting after the quarterback. They have a lot of sacks this year. It's just like, feels like there's no release from the pressure that they put on you. And then on the offense, they're just running the ball down your throat. So once you do get back on the field, you're anxious to go get back at them. And all of a sudden they're all over you. So Eagles are tough. They're such a complete team, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
You know what? And the Eagles do a really good job of staying healthy. And that's one thing that the Niners do a terrible job at. But the Eagles have stayed healthy so far. And I agree with you. That is a very, very scary matchup on both sides of the ball. Speaking of matchups, who's a player that you would not want to line up against?
I guess we'll start defensively because the first name that popped into my head is Aaron Donald, right? I
mean, oh yeah, he was a beast yesterday. Yeah,
terrifying in a loss, which you're happy about, right? You can get the compliment Donald, watch him be great, and then watch your Niners run away with that game. Yeah. But nonetheless, Aaron Donald, I mean, it's not just the sheer power and strength and his ability to just truck over whatever D lineman and get to the quarterback. It's his skill. It's his intellect. It's his aptitude, his football IQ. He can beat you in so many ways. He can outthink you. He can hit you with the hand moves and the swims. And then he can just go through your body and decide that, you know, I'm going to get your quarterback now and you can't do anything about it. So, scariest player to match up against. I'm not trying to block against Aaron Donald. No, thank you.
No, thank you. I would agree with you 100% on the defensive end of the ball. I'm going to go the other way, and who I wouldn't want to be matched up with is Christian McCaffrey. Who wants to be tasked with guarding him after what you saw yesterday, after what this guy can do in Shanahan's offense? He had the trifecta, a hat trick, a triple crown, whatever you want to call it. This guy does it all, and he breaks through at least the first tackle, if not a couple of them. The way that he cuts is absolutely insane. Seeing him in this offense, to me, if I was on the defense, would be scary. I wouldn't want to be lined up with, if there's Debo, McCaffrey, and Kittle all on the same, I wouldn't want to be lined up against any of them, but certainly not, I wouldn't want to guard Christian McCaffrey. All right, now let's talk about some games from yesterday, Sunday Night Football. We'll start with that. Packers versus Bills. Packers covered barely, thank God. I actually didn't think they were going to cover when I looked at the way this game was starting out, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and they had covered, so that was a good one for me. Josh Allen did throw two picks. The Packers seemed to find success on the ground game. Bills struggled to stop the run, which was interesting. But nobody thought that the Packers were going to win this game. I was pleasantly surprised that they covered in the end.
Yeah, it felt like, and I took Packers plus 10.5 as well. Same exact deal as you. I woke up this morning, oh, they covered by the hook, right? So, and that's why you give Aaron Rodgers 10.5 points, we're forced to take it, right? I don't care how bad the Packers look. I take that for third string quarterbacks in a matchup, right? Thinking, oh, the public's going to be all over the blowout. And well, football doesn't always play out that way. But cover by the hook, I'm happy about it. And you're right. There is some signs of hope for the Packers in that they could get a run game going. They've been zero dimensional on offense. So to find that dimension at least may open up other things if they can get Aaron Jones going. And hopefully the Packers can try to turn some things around. But still a loss, but a cover for us. So we win.
Yeah, and I think, like, to your point, it was positive for the Packers because now I think they at least have a path moving forward on how they can possibly win some games. All right, let's talk about the London game. The Broncos versus the Jags. Broncos win 21-17. Credit to Russell Wilson. I give him a lot of flack, but he had a hell of a game for once. He started off bad, a three and out, a sack, an interception. But you know who was worse? Is Trevor Lawrence. He was awful. He was 18-31, 133 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. You know, we thought maybe it was the coaching last year, and now I'm starting to wonder, does Trevor Lawrence have it?
It's interesting. Yeah, the debate is going to be kind of really front and center now. Second year, I don't want to be too quick to jump on him, and he's playing a Broncos secondary that ranks at the top of the charts in all pass defensive numbers. True. So, you know, facing Surtain and those guys is no easy task. And the London game, the 9:30 game, I always bet, I kind of like going towards unders in those games, right? Tough traveling spot and two pretty good defenses. So I actually had the under 39. By game time, it had moved to 40.5. And typically from a betting perspective, you're like, okay, I'm going to lose. I got the worst number. But stayed right under that still. And defenses really showed out. Russ is pumping his fist on like a 2-yard run by the running back. Like really getting amped up about anything at this point. So a win's a win, right?
Yeah, I guess the high knees ended up working out for him, especially in the second half of the game. He did look pretty good. I will give him that credit. Let's move on to the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Eagles versus the Steelers. Eagles win 35-13, and there's no way around this. The Eagles look like a Super Bowl team. Granted, it was against the Steelers, but Jalen Hurts was phenomenal. He was 19-28, 285 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. A.J. Brown had three of those touchdowns. He was absolutely ridiculous yesterday. Somehow Pickett didn't throw a pick. I bet a very disrespectful bet on him that he would have over two interceptions. And he did have one, I guess, late in the game. I ended up turning it off at that point. So that didn't hit, but big cover for the Eagles.
And similar, or I guess not similarly, but in the opposite fashion of me, of us taking the Packers with all those points and being like, how can you give 10.5 to Rodgers? I'm upset at myself for not laying the minus 10.5 on Hurts and the Eagles. It looks like so many points. You don't want to, you know, lay double digit spreads, but at a certain point you're like, this is a blowout. Vegas can only set the odds as far apart as possible so they get some bets on the Steelers. And I'm just mad that I didn't bet the blowout because the Eagles are running away with it right now. And as good as the NFC least has become all of a sudden, even in a pretty competitive division, they're not going to get challenged by the Cowboys or Giants, I think. And I'm saying that as a Giants fan. I still think it's very much clear sails ahead for the Eagles to take the division and maybe make their Super Bowl run.
I think they're going to face the Niners in the NFC Championship game, and we'll see how that goes. But yes, I definitely think that they could take the division, not necessarily the conference. But they look like a Super Bowl team. I mean, there's no way around it. I do think it's going to be between those two teams in the NFC. Now let's move on. Well, and I will say, actually, Kenny Pickett, he's not been playing well, but I do think that there's a lot of promise with him. And I do like how gutsy he is. And the fight, I watched a press conference where a reporter asked him, I think it was in relation to the interceptions and the kind of the risky throws that he makes. And they said, oh, you know, is the risk worth the reward? And he was like, to score points when we're down? Yeah, I'm always going to take that risk. And I kind of like that from him. So I do think that Kenny Pickett, there is a lot of promise. I think it's just a rebuilding year for the Steelers.
I like that. You got to bark back sometimes too, show a little heart, get some admiration from the fans. And maybe he did that, showing a little charisma there.
Yeah. And now on to my favorite game. How about those 49ers versus the Rams? Now 8-0 in the regular season. We have swept the Rams 3 times in the regular season. Now, of course, every commentator has to say we'd give up all of those to win the one. And sure, maybe, but it's still nice to win 8 in a row. And this was 31-14. The Niners looked terrible in the first half. Both lines, the O-line and the D-line, were getting absolutely torched. The Rams were just able to throw simple screen passes and just methodically move down the field. The defense could not stop it to save their life. Credit to D'Amico Ryans for making the adjustments, figuring out how to get pressure to Stafford. They stopped that first third down conversion finally in the second half, and then the entire game changed. Jimmy Garoppolo was outstanding. We've already talked about Christian McCaffrey, but Jimmy Garoppolo, 21-25, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 81.2 QBR. So shout out to all the Jimmy Garoppolo haters. Christian McCaffrey, Swiss Army knife. You know, first half was ugly, but the second half, they didn't give up, and they looked incredible.
And how dangerous is it having now 2 Swiss Army knives in your pocket as a 49ers offense? I mean, Debo's not playing. Enter Christian McCaffrey, triple crown. Rush TD, pass TD, receiving touchdowns. Ridiculous. So, it's scary. Of course, defensively, yeah, you guys are still getting healthy. And, you know, sometimes the Rams really can just start to expose teams with that screen game, move down the field.
You got to make that adjustment. Yeah.
But I love D'Amico Ryans.
Well, that's the thing, is we got torched with the screens the last week against the Chiefs. And at first I was like, has D'Amico Ryans not come up with any kind of game plan for this? And then, of course, he did. So, you know, I take those backs. And the Niners just got into their groove. And it was basically a home game. The crowd was there with them. And so it was a frustrating game in the first half. It was an exciting game in the second half. And I do believe if the Niners can play like they did in the second half and we have health on our side, this definitely is a scary team. But, you know, like everything, they just have to play their game, which has been a little bit inconsistent over the last few weeks. To your point with Debo Samuel, you know, I was listening to Erin Andrews yesterday, and she had said that she saw Debo go up to Jed York, the owner of the Niners, being like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for this trade. Thank you. This is so great. And as much as I think he likes it, I do think this kind of puts everyone on notice. Debo knows now he's got to step up and still be flashy and do these things. He's going to lose some of his targets. George Kittle, it's the same thing. So I think it kind of, the competitiveness in the room is now elevated with McCaffrey there. They're happy to have him, but people still want to shine. So it'll be really fun and interesting to see, you know, how these guys step up.
That's a great point that I didn't even consider. Like, there's a lot of egos in a football locker room,
especially
amongst a team with so many superstars. You add one of the biggest superstars in the NFL. Yeah, you're no longer as hot as you maybe thought you were watching this guy, you know, go for every possible way to score a touchdown. So time to turn up, Debo. Let's go. I want to see him back out on the field with McCaffrey and what that Niners offense can do altogether.
Yep. And we're lucky that we got a bye week coming up. So everyone's going to get healthy, and we'll see what we do in the next week. Okay, let's talk about the Dolphins versus the Lions. Dolphins win 31-27. These Lions just can't seem to win a game, yet they keep it close. Tua had an incredible game, 382 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, QBR at 92.8. So welcome back to Tua. Tyreek Hill was great, 12 receptions, 188 yards. Jalen Waddle, he's been great, 8 catches, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Lions are now 1-6. They have lost 5 in a row, but they, you know, it's so depressing that they can keep games so close. But I do want to go on the record and say that I was one of the ones that did not believe in the Lions this year and took them under their win total. A lot of people were believing after, you know, Dan Campbell and watching them on Hard Knocks, but the Lions are going to lion, and they just can't seem to squeak out wins.
I know. And last season, they had a really good record against the spread, right? They, even though they couldn't get the wins, they would cover. This past week against the Dolphins, the very sharp play was Lions plus 3.5. They were home Dolphins 3.5. And I saw a lot of bettors I really respect on that. I had my finger on the trigger, and I couldn't force myself to do it. It's too scary. Katie, they're winning that game most of the game. Tua, with all those great passing numbers, it's even more impressive because he has to do it playing from behind. So they know the passing game is coming, right? And still, somehow, they find a way to lose the spread by the hook. Like, as you said, it's as simple as that. Lion's going to lion. And I'm sorry for anyone who bet them yesterday.
Yeah, and I just feel so sorry for the fans, too. And I feel like there is so much promise. And at least for the last couple years, they think that they're and they just keep losing these close games and have terrible records. But until then, I just am going to continue to fade, until they prove otherwise, to fade the season win total for the Lions.
Hopefully, Dan Campbell keep them biting some kneecaps off, and eventually, you know, they fill their bellies enough to get a win.
Well, they're not biting off anyone's kneecaps, that's for sure. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Time now for Capper's Corner. Let's preview Monday Night Football between the Bengals and the Browns. Bengals are favored on the money line, minus 165. You think the Browns can win this game? They swept them last year. That's a plus 140. Spread is 3, over under 45. Danny, what's your first bet here?
So I'm going to go right to player props because the total's moving, the spread is moving, and it's just a tight one here on Monday Night Primetime, divisional matchup, some bad blood here, some trends that suggest either side. So I'm having trouble picking an over and under, plus 3, minus 3. Let me go with an under, actually, on a player prop that I think I have quite a good angle on. I'm going to go under 37.5 rushing yards for Kareem Hunt. And Chubb and Hunt have made up kind of the best 1-2 punch at running back in the league, I'd say, even though the Browns are 2-5. Their run game is really good. Kareem Hunt has been demanding a trade since the beginning of the season. He even sat out some training camp workouts, hoping that he would get moved. And it's come to blows here where finally the front office is entertaining offers for him. Katie, the trade deadline is tomorrow. So you look at his last two games, he's had 5 and 4 carries. The previous games, he's splitting the workload with Nick Chubb. He's getting 10, 12 rushes, right, doing his thing. He's got like 3 touches in the last couple games. So I think that they're really going to shelf him, keep and make sure he doesn't get injured if he's going to be a trade asset. Instead of really put him on notice, what raised the stock a day before the trade deadline. We know who Kareem Hunt is. We know what he brings. So I think he really doesn't see too much time, and he's going to go under his totals. I like unders on him a lot tonight.
I love that, and it makes a lot of sense. I am going to take a side here. I'm going to take the Bengals, -3. It's at -120 right now on Caesars Sportsbook. The Bengals are just the better team here. They're just the better team. Yes, they don't have Ja'Marr Chase, but the Browns have way more injuries on their side, and I just think that this is going to be the Joe Burrow show. You still have Joe Burrow, and this is a, you know, a Swiss Army knife as a quarterback as well. He's 0-3 versus Cleveland in his career. That's definitely a stat that he's aware of and wants to break tonight, and the Browns just can't seem to stop anyone with their defense. I know their defensive coordinator is under a lot of scrutiny right now. The Bengals have also won 4 of 6 games in which they were favored, and they have covered in 71% of the time. That's the second best in the NFL. So give me the Bengals to cover here and to win for the first time against the Browns.
And not only would it be Burrow's first win against the Browns, but the Bengals are 0-12 in their last 12 against the spread on primetime divisional games. So yeah, this is what you call step up. This is what you call catching a falling knife, Katie. I think you're going to do it tonight, though. They could get this win.
I think so. I mean, I'm just going to take them over the Browns. It's just as simple as that. I just think they're the better team, and it's Joe Burrow. But yeah, I mean, at some point, the trend is your friend until it's not. And I feel like that trend is not going to be a friend anymore. And Joe Burrow is going to get the win here. All right, Danny, what's another bet that you're targeting for this M&F matchup?
So let's stick to the ground game here. We're fading Kareem Hunt, right, thinking he's going to get traded tomorrow, so he won't see the field. Who will see the field even more than he normally does? My man Nick Chubb, possibly the best running back in the NFL. And why not just use your workhorse tonight, put your head down, and truck people into the stands? Because that's what Nick Chubb does every single week. And I think that he's really going to go for, go up the middle a lot and look to attack a Bengals defense that's missing DJ Reader and has struggled a little bit against the run since he's gone out on that defensive interior. So, that's what the Browns do best is keep the game on the ground. And Nick Chubb will be the beneficiary of that tonight. 83.5 rush yards. That's lower than I would have expected for a matchup in which I think Kareem Hunt will be used less. So I'm looking for 20 plus carries and Chubb to go way over this number.
I love that. And those go hand in hand. I have 2 hand in hand bets as well for my next one. I'm taking 2 overs on reception, sticking with the Bengals because I do think the Bengals are going to win this game. I'm taking Hayden Hurst over 3.5 receptions. Is at -127. No Ja'Marr Chase. So everybody's going to get more love from Burrow tonight. He's averaging 5.7 targets per game and 4 receptions already per game. Hurst has gone over this line 4 times in 7 games this season. This seems like an easy bet for me. I'm also going to take T. Higgins, his #2, over 5.5 receptions. That's at -119. He's had at least 5 receptions per game in all weeks, except for week 1. And so you got to know that he's going to get a little bit more love just to get 5.5 to get 6. Makes a lot of sense for me. So I'm going over on those 2 receptions. Do you have 1 more bet?
I do. And I'm also on that Hayden Hurst over receptions. I like that one a lot. My other one, I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball. And I like Myles Garrett to record a sack tonight. He's got to get this one done. He started the season hot, 2 sacks in the first week, 1 sack the next week. Looks like, oh man, he might be the sack leader. And then he tweaked his groin, was dealing with a little bit of an injury, came back, was kind of really playing a little slower. I bet on him in a game against the Steelers where I thought, remember that bad blood with Mason Rudolph and all the history they have. And he really wasn't, he didn't get going until the fourth quarter. So now I've been watching the last couple weeks. He seems healthy again. He's getting sacks again. And guess who else is back? Jadeveon Clowney. Which opens up the door, I think, even more for him because they got to send some attention his way when you're blocking 2 elite pass rushers. So with a very familiar opponent in the Bengals division here and a Bengals offensive line that I believe is 4th worst in sacks allowed. I mean, once again, Joe Burrow just getting decimated behind there. Protect this sweet boy. I got Myles Garrett to get him to the ground 1 time tonight at least.
I absolutely love that. All right, let's switch gears to the World Series, the Phillies and the Astros. Game 3 in Philadelphia. The series is tied 1-1. Who do you like for this game? What's the bet you're looking at?
So if I had to pick a side, I'd probably lean Astros, to be frank.
Agree.
I know, like huge boo. You see the Yankee stuff. I despise the Astros. And it's hard to root for the Phillies, too, because, man, New York sports fans are not necessarily all chummy and brotherly with Philly fans, right? We don't get along that well. But I do want them to beat the Astros. The thing is, I think the Astros probably take this game, but what I'm going to bet on is the under 8. That seems like the play because there is so much money on the over. It doesn't make sense. I saw so many people going towards this over, and this is World Series baseball. I think the easy logic is look at the pitching matchup. It's Noah Syndergaard, who has certainly gotten hit this season and not been the Thor of old, against Lance McCullers, who got hit up by the Yankees in his last outing, right? And both pitchers, recency bias would tell you that they're going to get hit again. But in postseason baseball, You match up literally inning for inning, hitter for hitter if you need. In a 1-1 series here, I don't see more than 8 runs being scored. I mean, you look at that Houston bullpen and the Philly bullpen, they have so many talented arms that if either pitcher gets in trouble at any point, why not just start to match it up? I know you, of course, have to save for other games, but this is going to be a tactical, tight game, I think, and really well managed by both sides. I'm seeing under 8.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. I'm taking the Astros first 3 on the run line. That's at half of a run. That's a +140. I think that the Astros are going to win this game, and I was looking at all the different things, and this has the most value. And like you said, both of these pitchers are going to be on a very tight leash. I think they get pulled possibly a little bit early. That's why I'm keeping it in the first 3, but I do think that the Astros are a little bit better. You got Lance McCullers versus Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard has not appeared in longer than 3 innings in these playoffs so far. Mostly he's come in just as a relief. McCullers, he's 4-2 with a 2.30 ERA, a 1.24 whip, including 2 playoff starts. Yes, he did get lit up in his last start with the Yankees, but he's collected at least 6 strikeouts in 7 of his 10 starts. I don't expect these pitchers to go long, but I do think McCullers has the edge here. So I'm going to go ahead and give the Astros the 5 at +140.
I like that 0.5. Too in the beginning, kind of jump out to a lead perhaps. I mean, yeah, we're talking about McCullers getting kind of touched up by the Yankees at last start. You know what I also remember? And other postseasons, the Yankees being absolutely befuddled by his curveball and his sliders. So if that's going, McCullers is tough to hit. And I like you. I like your bet for the Astros to get out in front early.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So let's get into our mocks locks. I'm going with that one. I'm going Astros first 3 run line. It's at 0.05. Odds are +140. And I'm taking Hayden Hurst over 3.5 receptions for Monday Night Football, -127. What are your mocks locks, Danny?
I got to go with the Kareem Hunt under. If I really believe he's going to get traded tomorrow, then he shouldn't see the field more than 3 times, right? If at all. So I'm going to go with that under 37.5 rush yards. And I'll go with the under 8. There's so much money on the over. I'll go the opposite way in a prime time in a World Series matchup. I think that we can beat the public on that one. So give me the under 8 and Phil's Astros.
Let's go. All right. Thank you so much, Danny. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets. Have a happy and safe Halloween, and we'll see you Wednesday.